listen to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
All right. Welcome to episode 117 of Rogue Startups. And actually, the number of today's episode is a little appropriate because it's also the final episode for 2017. Ooh. Wouldn't you say, Craig?
Yeah. No, it's kind of bittersweet to come to the end of another year. But I think for both of us, Dave, it's been overall a really great year. And we did our kind of updates and goals episode now 2 episodes ago. But I think really now coming to the end of the year, it's what, 6 days until Christmas now, really a cool opportunity to reflect some more. And I think that's a bit about what we're going to talk about later today, right?
Absolutely. But first, let's talk about the launch of Castos. What happened?
I'd be happy to talk to anybody individually who is going through a relaunch of a product, because I think we thought about it and we planned a lot. And I think generally we pulled off a really great relaunch of our product in terms of kind of keeping our existing customers happy and whole and everything. We learned some things the hard ways. But yeah, so anybody who's going through this kind of like rebranding or relaunching like we did, definitely, you know, hit me up on email or Twitter and we'd be happy to chat with you. But I guess to give a rundown of all of the shit that we did last, it was 2 weeks ago tomorrow. So it was December 6th. So we took all of our existing customers from Seriously Simple Hosting, is what we called it before, to Castos. So we migrated the whole database. We migrated or forwarded all of our web traffic from the Seriously Simple Podcasting domains to the Castos domain and subdomain. We migrated our knowledge base from being based in WordPress to being based in Intercom. So it's like a subdomain of Castos now. So it's support.castos.com. We sent a pretty big update to the WordPress plugin, which introduced our new Castos media player and like several different media player options there. And we introduced some technology kind of on the back end in AWS, a load balancer, which allows us to really kind of like scale up and direct our traffic in a more sophisticated way. And we did all of that on the same day. And so, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And, you know, renamed our Stripe account and renamed our Drip account and migrated all those people into a new. And so, I mean, it's just a ton of stuff we did all in one day. And the reason we did it, though, and I got some really good feedback from someone. I've been chatting with someone through Clarity FM, who's like a branding expert. I've chatted with him 2 or 3 times now. And he said, if you're going to do it all at once, because then the impact is so much greater. If you drip it out a little bit at a time, people are going to get confused and not know what's going on and all this kind of stuff. He said, you got to either do it all at once or don't do it and don't try to make a sort of big deal about it. But if you do it all at once, then it can be like a real launch. And the few things that kind of go wrong, people will forgive because of the kind of event that you made out of it. So that's why we did everything all at once. And it was...
That makes sense.
Yeah, it was incredibly stressful. I mean, I sent a tweet about it today because, I mean, we kind of did it intentionally, though. Like, we want to launch at the beginning of January knowing that we have a solid week of things to clean up so that, like, by this time, it's the 19th today, we need to be done for the year, really. Just because, I mean, there's going to be little support and all this stuff, but I don't want to be changing things on people's sites, and I don't want to be working really hard, you know, December 23rd or something. So
we don't know.
So yeah, I mean, I think we put it as late as we could to get the relaunch done and get the few things cleaned up that are kind of inevitable that we'd have to clean up, all done, you know, before really like the middle of the month. And I think overall we did. I mean, we moved all of our customers over. zero downtime. My developer and our sysadmin would shoot me. We blue greened it. Is that the term, Dave?
I'm not a DevOps guy.
So we basically just like cloned our production environment and spun up a new EC2 instance, and then just redirected all the traffic to it. So we had like zero downtime. So it was pretty cool. One of the things the load balancer allows you to do.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know that that was a term for that, but yes, I've done that before in the past. I just didn't know that's what they called it. So I said, not a DevOps guy.
Yeah. So yeah. And that was really cool. I mean, I think, you know, in all honesty and clarity, and this is the lesson I think we learned, is we were so focused on launching the web app side of things, which is mostly what was new. In WordPress, we just introduced the new player, just, right? But of course, like a new player ended up breaking some things on people's sites that have like widgets and shortcodes, because now you have this kind of big player that's taking up a bunch of real estate and it makes things kind of screwed up looking. And we made some decisions that I thought were fair decisions at the beginning when we were kind of scoping out how we were going to launch this, that ended up kind of compromising some of the functionality that we had in the plugin before. So we took some things out that I thought, hey, this is not necessary. People don't use this. People don't need us. And we heard from our customers that, hey, we want it and we need it. Can you please put it back? And so we did. And you know, not too many people got terribly bent out of shape. So I think that's the lesson, is like, it's really tough to take a step back and really look at like keeping your existing customers happy on several different levels and a whole bunch of different use cases, you know? And I think we were so focused on just the hosting side of things and keeping those customers happy, moving them over with zero downtime and all that kind of stuff, that we fell a little bit short of, you know, our general WordPress users and how they use the product. But honestly, I mean, it's not, I don't use Seriously Simple Podcasting like that. Like on our site, we don't use any of the widgets or shortcodes. And so it's just not something that I thought to test, and like different use cases that were, I thought would be really edge cases, and ended up being a little more kind of common than I thought. So I think if I had to ding our score on how we relaunched, that's the only place I can really critique us, because otherwise, you know, it was great. I think we did really good. And Castos has been live for about 2 weeks now, and it's ticking right along. Our new trial rate is better than it was, which is great. I think that's the risk. That was my worry of the risk of relaunching something under a different name, is that you lose all the brand recognition of you know, Seriously Simple Podcasting and all this kind of stuff. And at this point, at least, we haven't. So I think it's a huge success in that respect.
Nice. So. Yeah, the challenges of dealing with a complex WordPress product and making sure that you've tested all the scenarios that you think everybody you're using versus the ones they actually are using is a challenge that we have not found a good solution to with Business Directory plugin, because we have added so many different things over the years, different short codes, different parameters in those short codes, different settings that affect those short codes. And so if somebody has like the magical perfect set of settings, then, you know, shit can go sideways. And there's just no realistic way I've found to test for all of those cases other than putting it in beta users' hands, have them try it out. When stuff breaks, get it fixed as fast as possible. Iterate on that as long as you're able to do, and then shove it out the door and hope for the best.
Yeah.
You know, there's just so much. When you have enough options in your plugin that it becomes combinatorially unfeasible, unrealistic, right. Impossible. I don't know. pick your word here.
All of those.
To really test. Yeah. to test on a reasonable basis, you just got to hope for the best. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we did not beta test in actual customers' hands. We loaded it like on rogue startups before we pushed it out. And again, I mean, I think we're a pretty basic site, for better or worse. And so I think that's why some of that stuff didn't come out. But yeah, I mean, PHP versions and hosting and plugin conflicts and all this kind of stuff. But as a result, we've spun up several development environments with some of those variables in it. And we have a much more kind of robust pre-launch checklist to run through for checking for compatibility. So I don't plan on having a major release for Seriously Assembled Podcasting anytime soon. I mean, the plugin is really, really well featured at this point. And so I think our job there should be a little easier as we kind of go forward. Most of the work we'll do will be in kind of integrations and additional features outside of the core plugin, but we'll kind of integrate back into it. So, yeah, I mean, releasing the new media player has been really popular. A lot of people love it, and a lot of people are using it. They send me screenshots and stuff, and it's really cool. It's really cool to see the Castos player out there in the wild, because it's really good looking, and we're giving it to everybody. So I'm really kind of excited about that.
And you get a player, and you get a player, and you get a player. Everybody gets a player.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Nice, nice. So, that's exciting. I'm glad to hear that it didn't crater your world, although your tweet today definitely reminded me that launches are always super stressful, and it's better to be on the other side of it than the side you were on before the last time we talked, and I'm happy that it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. How are things with you, man? Looking right at the end of the year here.
You know, so my well, I have a couple of things going on. So with the plugins, I lost one of my developers at the end of November, and he, you know, he's been working for me for a long time. And did we talk about this on the last show? I don't remember if we did or not.
I don't think in detail. Yeah.
Yeah, I've talked about this in the mastermind and with other people. I never know who I've talked about it with at this point. But basically, he was like, you know, I'm going to go to grad school and I'm moving. My girlfriend's relocating to a different country and where I'm going to go with her. And I'm just like a change. And I'm like, you know, after 5 years, I totally can't fault you on this one. Yeah. Makes total sense to me. And he did it with lots and lots of integrity. He helped me find another guy that would be a good fit to come in and work for the plugin. He is helped training him right now. And even though his end date was actually 2 weeks ago, he's still helping bringing this guy up to speed. So my other guy is kind of overloaded with support right now, but the new guy is coming up to speed. He's adding features and fixing things to become familiar. So, you know, we're kind of on track, but I am spending a fair amount of time in there reviewing things and making sure documentation is in place and stuff like that, to kind of help the process along. And then still trying to clean up after the Business Directory 5.0 release. I'm still behind on documentation. I'm in the final stretch now. I'm over the 50% mark. In fact, I'm probably over the 60% mark as of today. Maybe even farther than that, maybe 75%. I'll give myself 75%.
Nice.
Because I noticed that some of the things that I was linking, that I was thinking I had to rewrite, were just links to articles I had already written. And I'm like, yes, yes, there's five things right there I already wrote. So I might be closer than I thought. But yeah, it's just been a slog. So I haven't been able to do this during regular freelancing hours. And so I have to grab an hour or two here and there. And so it's like three articles in an hour is about my output rate, converting old to new, because I got to add screenshots and review everything and check the settings. And so it's been slow and painful. But we're almost there, and in figuring out that my other developer was leaving, I asked the very first developer I had ever hired, I kind of said, well, what are your plans? And I found out that, you know, he's kind of looking at leaving here in a few months as well, but also a very high integrity guy. He has agreed to stay on until certain conditions are met, which include getting this new guy trained, making sure that he's able to handle both plugins, and then finishing up some existing stuff that we've worked on for the classifieds plugin. So it's not like there's a hard deadline set on all of that, but he has made it clear that those are the things that, you know, will get these things done before he leaves.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, shoot. Okay, that's a load off my mind. But now I have to deal with this. The hiring problem all over again.
No, is that so, like first quarter of the year, you think, or?
It's probably late first quarter of the year.
Okay.
At the earliest. I'm thinking like February, March.
Okay.
So it's not soon, but it's, you know, it's going to depend on how fast the new guy comes up to speed and how much he can take over on support so he can finish up other stuff in features. Yeah. So, I mean, that makes for some logistical challenges in there, but that's okay. You know, I appreciate the way that they handled this. It's not something that was really all that much of a surprise from my perspective, because I'd been kind of thinking about it for the past year. Like, these guys have been with me a long time. What happens when they leave? Yeah. You know, that's kind of been a nagging question in the back of my mind. Well, I get an answer to that question now. Here's what happens when they leave. So it's certainly not as bad as I had feared it would end up being. So that's good. So the plugins are – that's where the plugins are at. And as far as Recapture goes, my developer has been out of pocket working on another thing until this Friday. So I'm looking forward to having him back. And then we can sort of finish up the Shopify integration. And then I've got some other features that other customers have asked him to test. But I've mostly just kind of kept it low key here with Recapture here towards the end of the year, mostly because there's just a lot of stuff going on in e-commerce. And the last thing that I think a lot of people are really paying attention to is new features and marketing promotions and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of – I'm letting it ride to see how it goes. And I've noticed that I'm getting critical support questions, but that's about it. And if I'm asking other people for things, I'm not getting as much response. Now, I do have a customer survey that I've I had shared it with you and you had looked at it and given me some feedback on it. But that's going to go out to my customers here before the end of the year so that I can really get a sense of what they think needs to be added or where they're really struggling with. And I think they'll have a pretty good idea of that. I want to hit them at a point where I think that they're going to be likely to respond. So I'm going to try to target it right after Christmas when I think that things have kind of calmed down a little bit for them.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And then after that, you know, I've been looking at my notes. I actually spent 2 days this past week. I watched a bunch of the talks from Shopify Unite 2017 about partner track stuff and app building and marketing channels and opportunities that they see in 2018 and 2017. And I think some of that has kind of honed some upcoming strategies that I've got for Recapture, which kind of leads us into our topic of today, which is 2017 killed a lot of shit in our playbooks.
It's making us think again and be original, right?
Oh, man, it is. It seriously is. Yeah. So I don't know how you want to jump into this here, but it just seems like the thing that really spurred me on with this was an email from Justin Jackson, and he's sending out some stuff right now to try to basically promote a boot camp that he's running in January. And it looks like it's going to be something really effective depending on where you're at in your journey. But the thing that really stuck in my head when I got his email was the stuff that we've been doing in 2015 and 2016 kind of started to stop working in 2017. And I stopped and I thought about that for a minute and I was like, damn, that observation is dead on. And then I sort of looked at a bunch of things that I had looked up or tried with Recapture or had been using before effectively with the plugins, and their effectiveness decreased in 2017. And it wasn't just one channel. It was like a bunch of different things. What's been your experience on that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think so I guess in all fairness, we have found a marketing channel that works with Podcast Motor and with Seriously Simple Podcasting / Castos and haven't ventured out too much from that. But now with the relaunch of Castos, we are opening our hosting platform up to WordPress users and non-WordPress users. And specific to the non-WordPress users, I'm definitely having to find a new marketing channel because going back to the launch stuff a little bit, you build it and they will come thing is definitely not true, right? Like we haven't had a ton of people sign up for Castos that are not WordPress users. And so I think it's making me kind of look at this and say, okay, now I have to go out and actually get some business for this. It's not like, oh, I built this great podcasting platform and everybody's just going to come over to it. We have to figure out a marketing channel that works. But, you know, I think we have been fortunate with Podcast Motor to get a lot of word of mouth and referrals. And I think we have a lot of stuff that used to work that is still kind of working in our favor. And by that, I mean a lot of high quality blog content. But I think blog content in particular is one of these things that if you have had it for a long time, it still has a lot of merit, if you will, towards like your Google rankings and kind of reputation in a space. But to start new blogging right now, I think is really, really difficult just because there's so much out there and so much good stuff out there, honestly, that to start a new blog around email marketing and e-commerce or podcasting or whatever it is, probably is not a smart move. If you've had a blog for a while and it has a lot of content, then keeping with it and adding to it makes a lot of sense. But starting from scratch now, like you're talking about, Dave, some of the things that used to work, especially starting from scratch right now, probably don't work anymore. And I think blogging is the first one I would think of.
In fact, I have seen that exact thing so far on Recapture. You know, we've really been hardcore working on blogging content for that since, we'll say, it started really in August, but I don't think we launched our first article until the beginning of October. Well, it's not true because I did a five blog post series on things to try to rank for some keywords in my space, but the competition on those keywords was sort of average, but still pretty, you know, stiffer than zero. And even in that time, it's still not, you know, we're not ranking for those yet, not in a way that drives significant organic traffic. And when you're looking at like new articles to write in e-commerce marketing, it's tough to find new stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of relegated to the, here's all the things that are working in 2018, you know, so that you can catch that new keyword as it comes around in January. But that's about it. Cause there, like you said, there's a lot of great stuff out there. Shopify is such a behemoth in producing killer content that if you're somebody else that's a Shopify app trying to produce content on the level that they produce it, it's a fool's errand, really. Yeah. And you know, you have to figure out, how can I focus on something that my customers care about more than the generic e-commerce stuff? And that's tough. That's really hard to figure that out. So I would say that that's been a significant struggle for us so far in trying to generate content that is relevant to the audience and not something that they've seen somewhere else, because otherwise they just ignore it, which is exactly what I saw in some of our first articles that went out the door. The time on the pages there was just not very high. And that was totally our bad. You know, it's one of those things that you learn as you're getting into a new niche. Like, does this resonate? Does this not resonate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, as we both are looking to kind of scale marketing efforts now, I think something that's really important, and blogging is really bad for this, is the measurability of a channel in the short term. And I mean, you're talking about you've been working at blogging for 4 or 5 months now. It would be really nice if you could see, okay, this works or this doesn't work. I think you saw that with email, that like you tried email really hard for cold email, whatever, 2 months. And then you could pretty clearly say, this doesn't work. I'm not going to do this anymore. Let's go look at something else. But with blogging, I mean, everybody says, oh, blogging is like the long slog and you just got to build a base of content and all this kind of stuff. But it might be that it's never going to work. And so I think that's the really hard thing about blogging, is like you can have a great and big and popular blog, but you also could just waste a shit ton of time and money. Never know, really. I mean, and not know for a year at least.
At least a year. Yeah, I would say the earliest you could really know is 6 months. But the only thing I think you could know in 6 months is if it's really, truly working.
Yeah.
Like if you're starting to see tons of organic traffic. But if you still don't see organic traffic in 6 months, you're like, well, maybe we just need to go a little longer, you know, and then you run it for another 6 months. And then here you are a year into the blogging and you're like, huh, that didn't work. Wow, yeah. That cost me a lot of money and time.
Right. And opportunity cost to try other things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, there's a general content problem that we have out here. I see this in my inbox. I see it with blog articles, everything. We have so much content now where we didn't have it 5 years ago that I feel oversaturated in it. of just high quality stuff. And I just don't have enough time to consume it all anymore. I have like folders in my inbox and they are embarrassingly large at this point. I'm not even going to reveal the numbers and sizes of emails that I have in here, but I just, I'm a total pack rat when I see something that I think, God, that's going to be useful at some point. Dump it over into this, you know, articles to save folder, and it just keeps growing. Occasionally I go back through it and I'll dig out something, and maybe you and I will discuss it here in the podcast, or maybe I'll use it for something in recapture curated emails or something like that. But tons of that stuff in there goes unread, unloved. And I'm sure that the creators of that content would piss their pants knowing that, just because they're being ignored and it's still good. Like, being good is not enough anymore. Being long is not enough anymore. You have to find something that gets you heard above the noise, whether it's discovering new content or just hearing about existing content or even convincing people to read your good content. These are all things that are way, way harder in 2017 than they were in 2015.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things we saw the advent of in 2016, 2017 is using blog content as a first point of touch for cold ads. So running Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, whatever ads to a blog post, and then either retarget somebody or get them on your email list and then sell them down the road, and adding this kind of whole nother layer of like the sales process to things, I think is something that really became popular this year, if I think back like to the beginning of the year, and probably is still effective, but it adds definitely a level of uncertainty, because then you have like all of the time and steps that someone needs to take after you send them a Facebook ad to your blog post, to when they become a customer or sign up for a trial or whatever. But also just more cost, because now you have to write the article and promote it with ads. And I think probably here, even at the end of 2017, Facebook ads just continue to go up. Twitter ads, you know, I don't know. I mean, the platform probably just isn't as ad-friendly as Facebook, just the real estate. Yeah, I mean, I think paid acquisition, especially if your LTV is, shit, I don't know, under $1,000, is tough, right? I mean, I would not try it at all for Castos, just because, I mean, our LTV is solid, but we're too young to know, you know, long term what it's really going to be. And I think if you're going to look at paid acquisition in a SaaS app, your LTV has to be really high, just because at this point the uncertainty of it is kind of substantial.
Yeah. And even more than that, like they're tweaking the platforms. Like earlier in the year, Twitter jacked around with its platform, completely altering the reach, the cost, the analytics, the dashboard itself. They changed everything about all of those. And I know other friends of mine that were using Twitter ads, and they all reported back, wow, all of our conversion rates went into the shitter. And on top of all that, it just seems like they're not engaging with things as much, that either the clients that they're using are simply hiding the ads, or people just don't use Twitter as a marketing channel as much anymore, or people aren't paying attention to it as a marketing channel. And so it's just overall effectiveness has decreased radically, which is very, very disappointing, because Twitter ads last year were still pretty good. Like I know Mike Tabor used that to help promote Single Founder and do really well when he launched the Single Founder Handbook. He said that if he had to do the same thing this year based on what he's seen and heard from other people, it would not be the same kind of launch, which is really scary. And back here in the fall, probably like a month or two ago, I was talking with Jeremy Biron of Forecastly, and he was saying, well, you know, check out Reddit ads. As soon as I went to check out Reddit ads, literally that week, they changed how they worked. It went from where you could actually direct an ad into a subreddit. So like, for example, I could go to a Shopify subreddit and post ads about recapture there. Now, if I were to do – and that actually made for really, really cost-effective ads, because it basically meant only people that went to that subreddit saw the ad. So they were super cheap, they were pretty effective, and they were highly targeted. because your audience was in there reading stuff and they saw your ad. Now they made it so that they can get more CPM on it. They can get more views and eyeballs, but they'll spread it across other subreddits. So if somebody goes to the Shopify Reddit, they'll get cookied now, and then they go to visit the Barbie Reddit, and all of a sudden
personal
they
experience,
see,
Dave.
Personal experience. I hang out a lot in the Barbie subreddit over there. I like to read up on that stuff. And then they see ads for recapture. So now it's outside of context, and people are like, what the fuck? Why would I care about that here? I'm reading about the latest Ken doll, and you're telling me about abandoned cart software. What?
Yep.
Like, it just sort of blows that whole context and the target. So the word on the street on that, Reddit ads are less effective now. So that's really scary. And the cost of Facebook ads in all of the e-commerce forums I've been in, everybody who's doing paid acquisition in there in e-commerce has talked about how much it's increased in this season year over year. Everybody expects the Facebook ads to go up during the holidays, but now they're more expensive this year than they were last year. So that makes every store that much harder to get the traffic in to sell their goods.
Yeah.
With that, then that's pretty scary too.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think, so this is not all a Debbie Downer episode. We're gonna talk about one more thing that maybe is not working as well anymore, and then some things that we're looking at going into 2018 that might give everybody kind of some food for thought. But the last thing is, personal thing for me with Podcast Motor is we are seeing a lot of people starting content, starting new podcasts, and they're all coming to us and saying, okay, I want to start a podcast about e-commerce, but I don't want to sound just like e-commerce fuel or whatever.
I said that was a private conversation when I brought that to you.
but I mean, it's the same type of conversation that we just had around blogging. I think podcasting is very young, obviously, compared to blogging. But I think that the thing that so many people say is, I've heard Dave Rodenbaugh on 7 different podcasts talking about the same thing. It's the same people and the same content and the same message all the time. And so what we coach people to is say, okay, you're going to talk about e-commerce, either have a new person on that no one in your audience has heard of before. And I think, Dave, I think we do a pretty good job of that. Like, we had Dave Rosenthal on a couple weeks ago talking about, venture capital and stuff. And I think we try to skirt the outsides of kind of our space a little bit with the types of people we have on. And I think we've brought some people on that might not normally have been known in our space. Or you have the same person on and talk to them about different things. So, we haven't had Rob Walling on the show yet, but I think it's because we don't want to have Rob on to talk about drip, right? We want to have Rob on to talk about whatever, something totally different, because Rob's a really interesting guy. A lot of us know him and respect him, but we want to talk about something different. And I think if you're starting any kind of content, and I can talk about it from a podcast perspective, the people that are successful have a different type of show or have a different type of guest in a space, or talk with the same types of people, but about different angles on their topic. Because I think if you're not doing something like that in creating content, you are going to get hammered. Because there's people doing really creative and cool things out there. And if you're just another podcast about podcasting, no one is going to give a shit.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even say hammered. I mean, the opposite of love is not hate.
Ignored.
It's being ignored. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's worse. That is far worse in our space, to just go through all that effort and then launch and crickets. It's like, oh, God, nothing is worse. Nothing is worse. So like Craig said, I think we need to end it on a different note here, because clearly, we could talk about other things. You had mentioned cold email, and I had talked about early in the year how this didn't work, and I followed some old playbook stuff in there, and it just wasn't effective anymore. So you have to do something new in 2018 if you're going to make existing marketing channels work, or if you're going to use, you know, standard techniques like email autoresponders, you've got to do it in a way that doesn't look like everybody else now. And that's the key.
Yeah.
So it's really about uniqueness of message and trying to have some sort of a personality to your business. You can't just be the best guy that's doing, you know, abandoned carts or whatever, because everybody says they're the best guy that's doing the abandoned carts. You got to be something different. You got to be weird, quirky, you know, whatever it takes at this point. You got to hit markets where nobody else is trying to put that message into. I think so many of us are hitting the English language market in North America ad nauseum that everybody's hearing the same message. And if you're somebody who's in Asia, you're not hearing those messages, because unless you're hanging out in the North American forums, because nobody's trying to target that market, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know I heard this stat a while back that software purchase and consumption or something is 50% in the US worldwide, which means you're probably only marketing to half of your potential target audience, right? I mean, the rest of the world, speaking as somebody who lives in the rest of the world now, is massive and has a ton of money and influence and some really monster businesses. So I think, you know, one of the most interesting talks, it was the last talk at MicroConf Europe, was about targeting pricing in native currencies. So just, you know, have a little JavaScript thing on there, ping their IP address, and then show people the pricing in their local currency. And then just convert it on the back end before you send it to Stripe or whatever. And this is just like such a simple thing to make people think and have the impression that, wow, Recapture.io is really for me living in wherever, Japan or France or wherever. And it's such an easy thing that I think some, like Dave, like you mentioned, some of these things make you stand out and are simple ways to differentiate you from everybody else. But I tell you, one of the things that I think has worked the best for us at Podcast Motor, continues to work really well for us, and I'm trying to replicate at Castos, is word of mouth and referrals, and I'll throw affiliates in there too. Because like, we don't have a proper affiliate program at Podcast Motor. We do have a Castos. If anybody's interested, go to castos.com/affiliates. But I think the result of all of this content and noise is people just want an answer. They want to come and say, Dave, I have a Magento store. Where should I, what tool should I use for email, you know, capturing email addresses and abandoned carts? And you give them an answer, and that you have authority and they trust what you say. I think with all of this noise and content and difficulty really getting like an exact straight answer, I think more and more, like, you having a strong reputation and doing whatever you can to foster and kind of spread that reputation in your market is going to do great things, because the other stuff and kind of forcing your message on everybody when they don't care isn't necessarily working. But if and when somebody is looking for something, they find out about you from talking to somebody or seeing you reviewed somewhere. I think that's never going to change, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The bottom line is you got to be authentic and you've got to be different. And everybody says this, right? But we've been saying this for years. I've heard other people continually say this for years. But yet, what do? We go out, we read about this on a blog post, and we're like, I'm going to be exactly like HubSpot.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
and then you wonder why everything doesn't resonate the way that HubSpot did. Well, HubSpot was one of the first ones to do that. That's why theirs was so effective, because they actually bothered to find something that was unique and resonated with a group of people and then hammered the shit out of it.
Yeah. 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 That's a great point. I think as we're looking at things that might work in 2018, you really only need one marketing channel. I mean, the opportunity to exhaust a marketing channel as solo founders or small businesses, it is very remote, right? I mean, I would be happy as a pig in shit if I exhausted all of the referral and affiliate and word of mouth opportunity in the podcasting space. And you would too in the Magento space, right? If everyone owned a Magento store was a Recapture customer, you'd be like, okay, I win, right? Like, it's over. That's as good as I need to do.
Right. But of course, those things aren't really going to happen because there's different levels of competition and different levels in the market, you know, the enterprise space versus the brand new owner. And you're never going to capture all of that. But, you know, what is it that you can do in 2018 that's highly focused, very unique, authentic, and can capture that share of the market space? What unique advantage do you have that you can leverage to make it work in 2018? That's the question I posed to everybody listening today.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to leave off, Dave. And I think it's a great thing for people to kind of ponder. This episode will go out between Christmas and New Year's. So hope everybody has a little bit of downtime with, you know, friends and family and loved ones. That's not always the same group.
Yes.
But I mean, I think this kind of stuff, that weekend between Christmas and New Year's, hopefully everybody has some time off work and is able to formulate kind of your elevator pitch of how you're different and how you can grow your business in an authentic and unique way is something I hope we all go into 2018 with. And I would love to hear kind of what some people are thinking about this and how their marketing approaches are changing going into the new year. Shoot us a message, podcast@roguestartups.com, and we'll see you next time. Happy holidays to everybody.
And happy new year. We'll see you in 2018.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.